Talking Tesla.
I'm not sure if like my foot should be on the brake or the accelerator.
Because they put rings on Elon.
It must be some sort of geometrical algorithm.
I don't need to touch the steering wheel there, Tom.
Oh, I'm sure there's some math. So SpaceX, here's the deal. Landing a rocket on a drone ship is key.
Charger.
How am I expected to drive a car without autopilot? Safely.
Charger. You know, I'm not a good parker, Tom.
Yeah.
I'll be the first to admit it. I just think that this is a car company that is run by super geeks. All the other cars are going to be stupid cars compared to this car.
You don't even have to remember that. You've got a Model X. I have seen the future, and it is light pole charging.
No, I wouldn't call it a screw-up. Do you like your Model X?
God, it's beautiful. What is a piccolo? We've been talking before the show.
This is a
big show. This is actually, I got to tell you right now, you need to listen to the end because there's some big announcements, the biggest announcements that we've ever done. So listen to the end, okay?
A bassoon announcement? You said a big announcement. So is that like bassoon bass level or is that like piccolo level?
Well, you brought up the piccolo. We won't explain why. It's rude. But what is a piccolo? I know it's small.
According to the Encyclopedia Britannica, a piccolo is the highest pitched woodwind instrument of orchestras and military bands. It is a small transverse or horizontally played flute of conical or cylindrical bore fitted with a Boehm system keywork and pitched an octave higher than the ordinary concert flute.
Okay.
Very descriptive of what we were discussing.
I was just going to say it's a flute, but really tiny.
That's what we're talking about right here.
Tiny flute. It's like if, you know, when you open the case that your flute is in,
mm-hmm.
and then there's like three or four pieces, just the first one.
There you go. That's a good definition. That's a good definition of a piccolo.
Hey, Google, play some piccolo music.
It sounds a little like that Godfather theme. I wonder if that's a piccolo.
Enough of that.
Okay.
I think it was enough of that before it started, to be honest with you.
What are we talking about today? What's going on? Before we do the big, huge, large piccololian announcement, what are we going to talk about before then?
There's a lot going on. Well, first, let's talk about some...
Hey, this is supposed to be a patron show, but it's not a patron show. This is going out to everybody, and that's going to tell you something.
That's right.
Okay.
We're going to read a couple patron letters. That's what we're going to start
with. That's what
we're going to do. And by we, I'm going to read them. You're going to listen and potentially make comments.
Go.
This is Talking Tesla 271, the Patreon show.
That's not.
That's the title. The Patreon show that wasn't.
Oh, no.
That's the title of this show.
Whoa.
We got a letter from Byron Richards. 5 stars.
Ooh, nice.
I would be more satisfied with free supercharging in exchange for the money spent on the purchase of my FSD for my 2019 Model S. Listening to all the talk and not being willing to be experimented on, I have yet to use it. The highway stack is excellent, but city driving has gotten so dangerous it's just not worth it, and we live in a city of 90,000 people. Is there somewhere we can track the various costs that have been charged for FSD over the years? I paid a total of $5,000 in February of 2019, and that is described as autopilot. Obviously included enhanced autopilot, self-parking, summon, and FSD rolled into one. Now it seems the variety is endless. Thank you for your insight and honesty. It's refreshing these days. Regards, Byron.
So this, ladies and gentlemen, came from us saying they should give people their money back or do something like give them full supercharging for life.
Right.
Because all of these people have this full self-driving and it's not. And we've been over this a million times. But Byron, thank you for saying that we're honest, good, wonderful people. That's all I care about.
You said insight and honesty. I don't hear the wonderful.
I thought he called me Mr. Wonderful.
You got any thoughts about that, Joel?
You know, I don't think that's a bad idea. If they cannot get hardware 3.
Joel didn't listen to the last show that he wasn't on. That's what he's telling us right now. He didn't actually hear that we had talked about that.
If
only met on the show.
If I'm gonna, you know, man, I don't know if I can do this anymore. By the way, guys. I think if they cannot get hardware 3 to do what it, you know, what he's promised, and now we heard that it can't get upgraded as well. This is gonna be a whole stink of mess, and you know, a lot of you know, these lawsuits and things like that. It's just gonna be crazy. But free supercharging is only worth like $2,000 or $3,000 total. It's not worth that much.
It's something.
No.
Free supercharging for life. It's a nice gesture. So if you had listened to the show, yeah, or if you'd been available to be on the last show, you would have been like, not excited about that idea.
Well, it's not worth even the $5,000 that he paid for enhanced autopilot. You know, he's still overpaying, I'm guessing. That's all I'm saying.
I don't mind the $5,000 for what I paid for, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, it works perfectly fine driving on the freeway, summon, whatever, not super exciting. I've been trying to use Auto Park a lot more lately. Works pretty well, to be honest with you. So, like, again, it's the full self-driving additional thing, the cost of full self-driving right now, the fact that they continue to charge people for full self-driving, even though, I don't know. Hey, Mel. Doesn't exist.
It's by yourself. It's in the name. Full by yourself. I think we've been there. I think we did a whole show on it.
But thanks, Byron, for your letter. Let's get to a second letter.
Go.
JCP. Joel's going to like this letter.
JCP.
JCP. Great episode. Miss Joel as well.
Oh, that's sweet. Was this by Joel's mom?
I believe there is an ongoing class action against Tesla due to FSD. Heard a great argument for card payment at Supercharger. Not everyone has a smartphone, and we should try to democratize EVs. So I think he may be advocating for against what I was advocating for, which was like get rid of the credit card thing and just make people use their smartphones. But
I want to know who the three people who don't have a smartphone are.
There's a
what
lot
are their
of
names?
People. Jim.
Okay, yeah.
Frank.
Yeah.
And another guy who doesn't want his name said on the show.
I don't think anybody.
That's not true.
Anybody.
You can go to the freaking AT&T store right now. I don't know why you would. And buy a flip phone.
Yeah. I don't.
You could go
how many
to
people
T-Mobile
really
store?
Do? If you own an EV, how many don't own a flip
phone? That number, I think, is super low. If you bought an EV and you still are in flip phone city. But maybe you're an international drug dealer who wants to save the earth with an EV and you use the...
Your burner phone?
The flip phone burner phone.
That's right. So I'm a drug dealer. I'm trying to kill all the people with the drug.
You're making millions, but you get a cheap flip phone burner.
Yeah, it's a burner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look, while I want to democratize this and get it to everybody, there's so many points of failure with those silly card readers that I can understand why Elon doesn't want to do that. They're broken all the time. There's the sunlight that's radiating off them, then they don't work, and you can't read the LED display because the snow's gone on there, and then it got irradiated by...
Yeah.
They're a bit of a pain in the butt tucks. Here in the Los Angeles, in the, what do we call the San Fernando Valley, after the saint of the Fernandos, we've got all these parking things. You know, you put your money in to park.
Meters?
Yeah, that thing. Mm-hmm. And you have to put your credit card in there?
Yeah.
50% of the time, they work every time. You know what I'm saying?
I look at that as kind of a bonus in some ways. Now, the parking, the people of the Los Angeles now have a parking app, so you can like put in your app information.
Right.
Although if your parking meter isn't working, you can, what I do is I just take a picture of it, and if I get a ticket, then I have evidence that
it
wasn't
working. You know
what's
better than that?
Yeah.
Is a parking meter that works.
Yeah.
And the analogy here
was it better when it took quarters, Mel? Did you like it better?
No.
Pockets full of
dimes? Because those broke a lot,
but
too.
But here's what. Just because the modern technology works, it doesn't mean you go backwards. You know what you do? You go forwards.
Make the technology
forwards.
Work.
Yeah. Right. See? And Elon and Tesla made it work, so we went forward. Right. We didn't go backwards.
So in your world, nothing is allowed to break ever. We have 400,000 parking meters, and every single one of them needs to work all the time.
I'd like half of them to work.
Half of them? Well, half of them for sure were.
Half of them do.
Less moving half parts, I think. That's really the key here. Because, you know, Boston does in the same
it's
way.
It's not
has
as critical
those.
With a parking meter, though, right? Sorry, Joel. What was
No, that? I was going to say, for the parking meters, it's the same thing. In Boston, they have parking meters, but and it will take a credit card, but you can also use the phone app. And in many cases, you're parking next to a meter that's broken, but you still can pay for it with the app. And I think it's short-sighted in California, but I think Tesla's just going to do what they're going to do. And I think that they're probably right that the less moving parts and the less parts overall on a thing are going to be better for durability and whatnot. And I think that's why they're doing what they're doing. Maybe they could have done NFC, but I don't know.
Joel says I'm right. That's all I care about.
That's
and
it.
Tom's dropped the lighting in here. He's got the mood music going. What's going to happen? Are you going to play the piccolo next?
Ooh, the piccolo.
I was just trying to fix the camera shot for, for Joel.
Thank you.
Do you see
But if you wouldn't have said anything about it, no one would have actually known, right?
I like to give him the behind the scenes. It's the DVD extra.
Oh, okay. All right. That's good. Do you feel like that's a good piece of extra there?
People are on the edge of their seat. Like, really? How much did he turn the light down? Is it getting inappropriate? What's going on back there?
When we got here today, you started talking about the steering wheel and the Model X. You want to elaborate a little bit for
I was
the
just
people?
Reading Teslarati. We love those guys.
Okay.
And they noted that the round wheel, the retrofit round wheel for the S and X, sold out.
The one from Tesla.
From Tesla. Done. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many they had. Maybe they had two. Maybe they had 50,000, but they're all gone, losers. Now, I asked the wife. I said, wife, we could retrofit the yoke and get you a round wheel. And she's like, it's fine. It's just when I back up, it's a problem because, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I actually prefer the yoke now. But, you know, I think Tom summarized it best. Here's a $140,000 car. And if you give us $1,000 more, we'll give you a steering wheel you want.
It's masterful. That's part of the master plan, part three. It
would be if they had supply chain, you know, everything in place, and they could sell 100,000 additional yoke steering wheels for $1,000. It's like that's real money.
Yeah, 1,000 here and 1,000 there. Soon you got a billion.
So why do you? I think. Well, I'm going to ask you this. Why do you think they did the yoke?
Because of this foolish belief that full self-driving was closer than it really was, and because it gives you this view of the what's in front of you much better. If you're not driving the car, then you can sit back, smoke a cigarette, and get a nice view, and you don't have the steering wheel in the road. That's my guess.
You can
Turns
see
out that full self-driving, not a thing.
It's not?
No.
Are you sure?
It's by yourself.
Even what about the beta version of it?
It's beta by yourself. Better self driving.
Better self. So you're not going to retrofit. Well, A, because it's sold out, and B, because you prefer it, even though it's not really.
It's not really my car, and the most like it's not worth the hassle, and I'll have to go away for a while. It's fine.
Okay.
My feeling why they did the yoke was all the changes were really on the inside of the car, and there was nothing that was really. That you could really talk about, like, oh, this is exciting. This is exciting. So they just put the yoke on.
Negative?
No, it was just nothing like we had waited like, they almost didn't build it for almost a year practically. So when they.
I know, but it was, but honestly, like the interior is beautiful.
No, I get it. And I think it, I don't. I'm telling you, I guarantee that's why they did it, is they wanted a little bit of talk. They got tons of talk about the car because of that. Mm-hmm. And now they can go back to it, but it's still there. And I actually think it's great. The only thing I don't like is the signal stock. I wish the signal stock was there. Besides that, I think it's awesome. It gives you a much better view of the road. It feels like you're driving the 3 without driving the 3 in some ways. And, but I think.
So are you saying that I should be excited to have a yoke if and when they put
it on the Y or the 3 or the Cybertruck?
The Cybertruck, yeah.
Yeah, because it's like a woke. It's kind of a wheel, but flattened. So it's like a wheelie yoke sort of thing.
Oh, so now the yoke is woke?
Is woke.
So do you think I should, would you, if you were getting a Cybertruck and they gave you the option?
Yes.
yoke, no yoke?
I actually would go yoke now. Strangely enough, I just think it really opens up that view out the front. I actually quite like it. And if you go back in time, me making a fool of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think the yoke's really stupid. It's a stupid idea. That was from 2 years ago. Oh, yeah, it's stupid. I was wrong. I admit it here freely on the podcast. That.
So much growth on this show.
So much growth. Mostly on my face right now, actually. I'm rocking the big Captain Ahab beard right now.
Yeah. You're getting like Letterman-esque.
Thank you.
In some ways.
Yeah, yeah. It's next level. Have you, there was one shot, David Letterman must have done something recently, and I couldn't tell who the hell it was, and it was supposed to be like, we were supposed to know who he was, but he has so much facial hair, right. You cannot recognize him at all.
He's got that new U2 thing. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah, with U2, with Bono. Yeah, that's where I saw it.
He goes to Ireland and hangs out with U2 for like a week.
And what's the show?
With Bono and Edge.
Is it not my best guest thing?
No, it's not that. It's what the hell is it called? It's
well, you look it
please
up.
Please wait.
But Howard Stern went on My Next Best Guest with the giant beard. And Howard, I love Howard because he has no frontal lobe. He's like, dude, get rid of the beard. That's all anybody can see. It's totally distracting. It's weird. Get rid of it. And I'm like, yeah, you tell him because it's too much. Stop it. Bring it down a level.
I think it's growing on me, but also
it's not growing on you. It's growing on him.
It's his life. He can do whatever he wants. That would be if I came in and was like, Mel, get rid of that beard. You're not listening to me. Why would I say that? It might hurt your feelings.
It might.
And B, it's your face.
I'm trying to cover it up for you. It's best for everybody.
Okay, it's a Disney Plus show, movie called A Sort of Homecoming. And it's Bono and the Edge. They did this new show, a concert, where they played with a bunch of local Irish musicians because the other members of the band were not available because they were doing other things.
Which other members?
Hanging out. The other two members that aren't Bono.
Hey, Google.
Larry Mullen.
Who are the
Adam
members
Clayton?
Of U2?
Ivan McCormick?
Thank you. Yeah, Larry and Adam.
Okay.
Thanks, Joel.
U has had six members. Here are the first four. Bono, Edge, Larry Mullen Jr., and Adam Clayton.
That's four.
Those are the first four.
Yeah, Ivan McCormick and Dick Evans. Everybody knows those guys.
Ivan Dick.
I have a dick too.
No, dick.
This show is so bad.
We're going to talk about it. Don't worry, we've got a solution. We have a solution to that.
Definitely.
But anyway, so David's in there and he goes and he actually like is learning about Ireland being taken in. He really, really did seem to be smitten with the folks. And it's a well done doc.
How could you
is
not
this a media pick?
The Irish? They are handsome, tall, young.
Not
delicious.
Not all of them.
Befacialed.
Not all of them.
Piccolo playing. You're awesome.
You don't play the piccolo.
Well,
you
maybe he does.
Befacialed.
Befacialed. I am Irish.
You are Irish. Just ask your liver.
Exactly. It'll tell you. I'm dying in here.
Please help me. Get me out of here.
That's exactly how my liver sounds, too.
Can I get a transplant into some young non-drinking person? Or maybe even just a normally drinking person?
Please, please, Daddy.
I don't know what accent I'm doing. It's not you.
It's Piccololian.
It's apparently your liver is English.
Yes.
You're internally fighting.
Yeah, I got a whole war going on with the British inside. Yeah.
Get me out of here, Daddy.
I was born with a British liver. Oh, I'm confused. Can we move on?
Yeah, we can. Do you want to talk about Ford Motor?
Not
if
really.
You were to guess.
Okay, let me guess.
If you were to guess, Joel.
Okay.
Mel.
Yeah.
If you were to guess how much money Ford has lost in the last 2 years from its electric vehicle business, what number would you
put defer at? To Joel because he's good with the numbers. Go, Joel.
Well, I remember Ford saying that they were money positive with their car. So I don't think they lost anything. They're like
with their electric vehicles?
Yeah, I'm saying okay, that they have so much history with cars that they can build them so efficiently and then just wipe the you know, wipe the market with Tesla's badness. They're right out of the gates. They're positive.
This could be an accounting thing, but according to Ford,
and looking at the just looking at, I'm reading what's his name, Tom. I'm reading Tom's face, and the disdain for your answer makes me think it's slightly less than zero.
It's more. They've lost more than $0.
More than zero. Slightly less profit than zero. Anyway, a lot of money's gone.
$3 billion over the last 2 years.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah?
I thought you were going to hit us with like $58 billion going down the tube.
They had like spent $58 billion. Each Ford F-150 Lightning cost $3.9 million. No, for $3 billion, and will lose a similar amount this year as the company invests heavily in new technology. These figures were released Thursday as Ford rolled out a new way of reporting financial results, which is always fun.
You know what that means when you've got a new way? It's called lying. We have a new way of lying.
The new business structure separates electric vehicles, the profitable internal combustion, and commercial vehicle operations into three operating units.
Nice.
The electric vehicle unit, called Ford Model E.
That's a weird name for a group of cars. It's called Model E. not Models E.
Right.
Which would be better.
Or not Ford E.
Yeah.
Just Ford E. Might have been a good way. They could have gone on the whole like Ford Plus.
Or could have called it like O. Henry. Like that would be, in, you know, after Henry Ford.
Henry, ending with like a long E.
Oh, Henry, like an yes.
On the top of it.
I like that name.
They say they will be profitable before taxes by late 2026, though, and with an 8% pre-tax profit margin. 8%.
8%. This doesn't sound good at all. They are only 5 years behind Tesla.
But they wouldn't say – so this is interesting. It says they will be profitable before taxes by late 2026, but they wouldn't say exactly when it's expected to start making money, this Ford Model E operational divisional.
And when anybody projects a couple of years into the future and tells you our profit margin will be 8%, is pulling numbers out of what I would call – their buttocks.
Their CFO, John Lawler, said Model E, which is, Joel's right, this is terrible, should be viewed as a startup company within Ford.
Making one car called the Model E.
Three now.
No, they can't, because that wouldn't make sense to call it Model E and have three cars under that. Wouldn't make sense, Tom. Why would anybody do that?
I don't know. You'd have to ask Ford.
So I was looking.
They're calling it Model E.
I was looking back.
It doesn't make any sense.
Do you want to get him on the phone?
Is this thing on? Mr. Ford?
Mr. Ford.
What are you doing? What kind of a name nomenclature is this? It's plural. Pluralize. Pluralize means more than
you
one.
You want it to be Model E's?
Yeah.
Or Models
E. You think that's better?
It's not good, but it's better than E, and you've got already three cars.
Joel's Models E.
Models E.
How about E Models?
We've already, between the three of us already, 100% better than what they're doing.
So
get yourself a job in the marketing department of freaking Ford in about 10 seconds here.
So in 2017,
Model E.
Guys, in 2017, Tesla lost about that same amount of money, which was, you know, right just before they opened up the Model E.
That was the ramp to three.
Yep. Right? Yeah. The Model 3, actually.
What they called, what their Model E would have been. Ford has not let Tesla use Model E on one car and taken it to call their entire operational unit the Model E. How about that for a giant FU to Tesla? Oh, did you want to use this name? We're going to use it stupidly.
It's real smart.
Model E, he said, is working on second and even third generation electric vehicles. It currently offers three EVs for sale in the U.S., the Mustang Mach-E, the F-150 Lightning pickup, and the electric Transit commercial van.
Oh,
and they also just announced the Explorer electric for the European market.
Yeah.
That's a pretty exciting little move on the old Ford's Ford front. They're making the SUV for the European market.
And I would say for everybody to go and watch that little promo, it's very, very Apple-esque. I mean, I would have guessed it was an Apple
the promo
commercial
of what?
For the Explorer in Europe. And, you know, I won't make that my media pick or anything, but it was pretty well done. And I mean, obviously it's very markety, but I don't know what their plan is on, you know, future marketing, but I thought that was pretty, mm-hmm. it was a different way to do it. And they really just sung their praises versus trying to put other people down. So I like that too. Nice.
How'd the car look?
About the same. I mean, it looked fairly like similar to an Explorer.
Did they give range numbers?
No, they didn't. It sounds like it's going to be lower, though, based on, I don't know, I think I heard some kilowatt hour numbers, so like under 100 kilowatt hours. So something that big and that square is not going to necessarily do that well in terms of range, but it's pretty cool nonetheless.
However, Ford Blue, the unit that makes their internal combustion and gas electric hybrid vehicles, made just over $10 billion during the last 2 years. And Ford Pro, the commercial vehicle unit, made $5.9 billion during those years. So they made $16 billion. They lost $3 billion. Feels like they're probably doing okay.
Not for long.
Why? Long-term, they turn the whole thing around.
Long-term outlook for gas cars is not good. That's why they broke it off. Right. And they've said in the past that they expect that the electric vehicle part of this organization will, of course, grow substantially larger than the ICE vehicle part. And then they'll take the ICE vehicle part and flush it down the toilet.
They expect to be making 600,000 electric vehicles by the end of this year.
600 by the end
what?
Of this year? That's a lot. That seems a bit outrageous.
So we're talking, and that's just the three models, right? The Mach-E, the Transit van, and the F-150. My guess is they could sell as many E-F-150 Lightnings as they possibly
could
make, right?
The Transit vans, they must be easy to make. Just slap a few things together, a bit of weld, put a battery on the bottom.
And who wouldn't want one of those if they owned a small delivery company or any kind of small business?
I've got to tell you, I've been looking at the Mercedes Sprinter Electric, 150-mile range.
Mm-hmm.
God, I wouldn't mind one of those, mate.
What would you do with it?
Chuck it full of crap and drive to the beach.
Nice. I like it.
And then I was looking at porta potties because the one thing that happens when I'm down the beach, this might be too much information, sometimes I need to go poopy pants and I'm a bit worried about the public toilets because sometimes they're not that great. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering about porta potties and the transformational technology in the poop transport area over the last few years is really quite substantial.
So do you think you would invest in Ford now that they've divested?
No.
And so it's more transparent? You can see like...
No. They're 5 years behind Tesla. I wouldn't invest in anybody except Tesla, although I did buy some more Rivian stock because it went down even further and I probably just pissed that money away as well.
Four new battery factories Ford's going to make. That's why they're going to be losing $3 billion this year.
Look, I hope they do well, and I expect over time that they'll do well. They're a pretty well-run company, but if I had $10 to stick in a company right now, it would be Tesla.
But the difference also is if you think about a company that's making the transition, which is what they are, they've got a lot of runway if they're making $16 billion in profit every couple of years to be able to invest more money as their – like they have this ability to
they're
do
not
this,
Toyota.
Which Rivian doesn't have.
They're better than Toyota.
But you're invested in Rivian, and they don't have a bunch of money coming in some other unit.
They have less than no money. They're asking for bonds to make their next vehicle.
They are?
Yeah, that's why their stock price went down.
Ooh.
It's never good when you're like, all right, we're going to make another vehicle, but could you help us pay up front, mate? Here's a bond.
All right. Well, that's that.
That's interesting.
And then there's an article that I got that about Volkswagen, and the CEO, I believe, of Volkswagen is called the Inflation Reduction Ask the new gold rush.
Inflation Reduction Ask?
Act.
Yes, Act.
Inflation Reduction Act, the one where Joe Biden and the administration, the government of the United States, is giving money to EV manufacturers to build things in America.
I've got to say, first of all, really bad name. Probably didn't help inflation. Probably made it worse.
Okay.
But Having said that, it certainly has made manufacturers of EVs and the digging up of lithiums, it's certainly accelerated it. And most of the time you think, well, government, nah, nothing happens. They're just a waste of space. But sometimes you put some funding in the right place, you can have an effect. And it has had a bit of a huge effect. I mean, manufacturers are staying here, coming here, digging here, building here, all because everybody wants a couple of trill.
Yeah, so German, so Scott Keogh, the chief executive officer of the Scout brand, which is a Volkswagen's electric unit. They called it the Scout brand, not the Model E.
Scout. It, now that
are you
could
better?
Be,
are you better with that?
That's the a Scout, little bit better.
It's okay. A Scout now, truck, Scout though, right?
They're going to make a Scout electric SUV, right? But that's like basically their entire. I don't know if the ID4 is going to fall under the Scout brand.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
It feels like everything is moving in that direction. But they're going to build a $2 billion factory in South Carolina. And I read somewhere that that $2 billion factory is going to get like $1.3 billion in incentives.
That's not bad. Hey, yeah. Want to know where your textile is going?
That's
they're
not
going
bad.
Volkswagen and the Scout brand.
I mean, it,
I don't love
4,000 jobs, right? I mean, that's yeah, great 4, too. And in a you know maybe a state that's not wasn't South Carolina one of the states that wanted to if you offered free EV charging, you had to offer free gasoline charging? Wasn't that the state that had that?
That's
awesome.
That's pretty fun, though.
So that's pretty. So fun. These well, sorts of things are really now. Good, I think, for some of these.
To help change their mind.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think there's a Mississippi has something now where they've banned all EV dealerships by, banned EV
leading
dealerships, essentially. So we need to get a factory in Mississippi, you know, to sort of grease the wheels of progress there as well.
I think we need to get an EV factory everywhere. This one, particularly in South Carolina, could make 200,000 EVs annually.
Nice.
200,000. Or just about 5,000 a week.
Nothing to spit at?
No, exactly.
Although there's probably some people that are going to spit at it.
VW is also considering hiring a contract manufacturer like Foxconn to build its new plug-in pickups and rugged SUVs.
And Foxconn is building more factories here.
But they decided to, because of that money, they were going to build its own facility on 1,600 acres near Columbia, South Carolina, which I believe is not that far from where First Flight happened. Is that correct, Joel? Do you know any
ideas? Kitty Hawk?
Yeah,
Hey, Google, how far is Kitty Hawk from Columbia, South Carolina?
If you drive, Kitty Hawk is 406 miles away from Columbia.
So not that close. But if you fly.
If you fly, it's not that far at all.
Hey, Google, if you take a bicycle airplane from Kitty Hawk, don't forget it.
Never mind.
Yeah, so the interesting thing part of that story, too, is that they wanted to build it in some of these trucks initially in Europe, and they wanted to use a contract manufacturer. And because of the IRA, they decided that they wanted to do it themselves. Get some of the money, the extra money, and now that's what's going to happen. So we're going to see a lot of these folks try to build, so long as the administration doesn't scuttle this bill in some way, like allowing, you know, there's some talk about them allowing folks that are excluded to be able to still get some of the money, and they've done it with leasing as well. But it does sound like there's, you know, this is indeed kind of a gold rush in a lot of ways for the EV industry.
Why is it that the IRA, the Irish Republican Army, has such...
It's not the IRA, dude. It's the Inflation Reduction Act.
Oh, gosh. I keep getting that wrong.
Why?
I just think... No,
are you addle-minded?
Apparently.
Are you doing anything?
I grew up my whole life watching the IRA blow crap up. It's like the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah.
Yeah?
All right.
It's upsetting.
All right.
Just terrorizing people and blowing things up my whole life, watching on telly, getting scared.
But I have noticed, because of the Inflation Reduction Act, we'll call it that, the Inflation Reduction Act, a lot of companies are doing a lot more investment in mining in the States, and there's going to be a lot more battery factories. Goldman Sachs seized upon that opportunity, and they made big moves into the storage thing. So it's doing what we wanted it to do. There was sort of this momentum that was building, and the IRA just kind of like pushed it over.
Tesla has broken wind on their lithium refining factory.
Wind?
Ground. With their broken ground.
Broken wind.
And they could be refining lithium in as little as a year or so?
Refining it.
Yes.
Because like Elon said, there's plenty of the mining of lithium, that's the easy part.
Right.
The refining is the hard part. So they're opening up a lithium refining.
Right.
And that's going to be in the Texas.
Yeah, near Corpus Christi. What's interesting is it's going to have, or it's right on the water, on the ocean. So I don't know if they're going to bring in, you know, like rocks, spodumene sort of thing, and then out comes lithium on the other side. That would be an interesting way to do it. And then if it's shipped, then that's going to be more efficient, I guess, carbon-wise, maybe not particulate-wise.
And it's going to be near their big factories, mm-hmm. So, you know.
Near both Mexico and Austin, sorry.
Yeah, that's right. You can go one way, get to Mexico. The other way, you're basically at the Gigafactory.
Yeah.
Kaboom.
But the nice thing, again, about this is like it kind of helps the United States commitments that it's made at all of these UN things and global CO2 reduction things. Like, so they were able to make a relatively small upfront investment to try to meet their carbon reduction goals while also at the same time making new jobs, hopefully, reducing their carbon footprint of all of us in the States. And now we just need a lot of that money to build like a good charging network. And so like mm-hmm. there's this amazing momentum that really, I wonder if it's actually been more successful than they thought it would be in a lot of ways. And if it is like a harbinger of doing more in the future.
I think it's absolutely incredible how much activity we've seen thus far.
Yeah.
I can't think that they thought that it would be this popular. Maybe they would have offered less. I don't know. I'm saying that this is probably the most economic incentive bill, you know, for probably the last 20, 30 years. It's just out of sight.
I agree. I've never seen anything quite as effective as this. And I feel it's like Tom said, that everybody was on the fence, right? They're right on the edge. They're going to put in billions of dollars because they know where it's going. And then this Inflation Reduction Act came along and said, instead of building it over there, build it here. And they just went, yep.
Done.
Boom. And they all at the same time, like, we're coming here. But everybody's going to invest anyway. It's a question of where. And this just changed the where, which is good for America's.
And we got to it first, right? So now if the European Union passes something like this, which they're likely to do, mm-hmm. try to get some of those dollars to go there, you know, then that again will make another leap in this situation. And maybe we'll get to where we need to go a tiny bit faster. And I would just say, we need fast charging. We need fast charging. Have you guys heard about the problems SpaceX is experiencing with their new satellites? Heard about that?
SpaceX. They can't charge them fast enough. There's no superchargers in space. They forgot about that.
The satellites, they don't charge with – they don't have to get plugged
They're
in.
They're all solar.
That'd be weird.
They're all solar. They're already solar.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you had to, you know, plug them in, charge them up.
They might have to deorbit some of them. Apparently, according to Elon's tweet on March 22nd, there were some issues with the set of satellites that were launched on February 27th, confirming industry speculation based on the changing orbits of the spacecraft. So lots of new technology, and we're experiencing some issues as expected. Some satellites will be deorbited. Others will be tested thoroughly before raising altitude above space station.
Bro,
interesting words.
Get them out of the way. Deorbiting, I like that. Burning them to crap is another way of describing it.
Yeah. I think they also mentioned the International Space Station just for NASA. So if NASA's not worried about sort of failing satellites above the space station, would then eventually fall down towards the space station. So I think he put that in there just for them too. So. Because I think
why don't they send them further out to the Oort cloud?
Well, I think they're about 500 miles up or so in the space, or 500 kilometers up in the space station's 300
distance to work, possibly. They're basically deployed into orbits 370 kilometers high. However, they halted their orbit raising, maintaining orbits at altitudes above about 380. This story makes no sense the way they wrote
this. Well, what I read there, it's like if you want, you've got to have your satellites at the 300 to 500 mile range to keep the ping down.
Yeah.
If they're sticking them out past the space station, they're basically saying this is dead and we're just getting rid of it instead of burning it.
No, I think they want them to be, well, the space station is between 415 and 420.
Oh, okay.
And they were trying to get, I mean, I don't know why they would say they were going to raise altitude above the space station if that wasn't their plan.
So they're going to use these.
I mean, I didn't write this article.
You didn't?
So just so you know.
You know who did? ChatGPT-4.
That might be true, actually. That might be true. Jeff Faust wrote this article on spacenews.com.
Sure. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jeff Faust with spacenews.com.
He had GPT-4 write it and then just signed his name at the bottom.
So I don't think that
they're going to. These are larger. They've launched 4,000 of the other ones,
yeah,
but not too many of these guys.
So. Yeah, this is like a new, maybe the last three launches or so, they've had some of the newer ones. I'm pretty sure because they're in LEO, they have to deorbit within a certain amount of time. Something like 7 years, they have to deorbit.
LEO, low Earth orbit.
Low Earth orbit, yeah.
Not because they're a Sagittarius or a LEO, but.
Right, yeah. So according to this, the FCC partially authorized SpaceX's second generation, or Gen 2, satellite Constellation in December, allowing the company to launch 7,500 of its proposed 30,000 satellites into orbits ranging from 525 kilometers to 535 kilometers. So they do want them to be above the space station, apparently, for whatever reason.
Okay.
Maybe they're safe. Maybe it's just safer up there. Maybe there's less stuff. Maybe they don't want them to get in the way of the space station if they're looking at the space station from Earth. I have no idea.
They just don't want any chance of collision.
They're not working.
And especially if they're not communicating well back with the ground base, they don't want to raise them up too high until they know for sure that they're working. And they did this before with the first-gen stuff too, by the way.
Right. Plus of all of the things in space, right, things are leaving and coming to the space station more often. So you wouldn't want a bunch of stuff underneath it that things have to go through, like a big giant game of Space Frogger.
It's getting crowded up there.
It is.
There's a lot of stuff.
It's because they put your buttocks up there to test all the instrumentation.
Oh, well, because they're so smooth and round. Yeah, the scientific instruments.
Yeah. I didn't know where you were going.
Do you want to do a media pick? Harold Murphy media pick. You been watching anything? How about you, Joel? You been watching anything lately?
You asked me.
I'm going to let him think about it. You look like you were about to like open your phone and try to find something that you've been watching.
I'm just trying to find the name of it. It's geez, that's just really upsetting.
You could do that book you sent me. I've been listening to that.
Yeah, so I could do that. So that book is called Israel. And it's sort of about the history of Israel. And, you know, I find it interesting because that area of the world is complicated.
By Noah Tishby, T-I-S-H-B-Y.
Who apparently is quite a famous actress and producer Israel and a little bit here, tapping herself on the back.
A lot of back patting.
I find it useful, even if it's, I don't know how accurate it is.
Yeah, the veracity is unclear. And the bias is clear.
It's a bit of bias there, but yeah. I do find some of the history useful. So it's just my first foray into trying to understand that area. I don't know if you know, complicated.
A lot
of stuff going on there.
It's a very challenging area, but it's good. I have enjoyed it a lot.
That's not my media pick, as it is.
What do you got?
Because of the controversy.
Ooh.
Full Swing, Netflix.
Oh.
It is a behind the scenes of the PGA Tour and some of the biggest stars, and they just happen to magically pick a time when the LIV Tour is starting.
They got lucky.
Super lucky. No way they knew this was coming.
Mel,
so it's all about.
We haven't heard your talk about the LIV Tour either. What do you think of the LIV Tour?
We should do a LIV Tour podcast.
Oh, we should do that. So for those of you that don't know, there's the LIV Tour, and it's funded by the Saudis, and the Saudis are trying to do some sports washing where they're trying to, like, human rights violations stuff. Don't look there. Look at these golfers. And it came down very much to...
That's not really why they're doing it, but it's
part of it. So it became this rival to the PGA Tour, and all of these people, mostly older, burnt out, or not so good golfers, some good golfers, but Cam mostly went over there and got ridiculous sums of money.
All right. So Full Swing, I believe it's on the flicks that are net.
Yes, it is.
Joel, what do you got for us, bud?
So I watched one of your media. We watched your media pick. I think I sent you a note about it. Which one? It was like Slow Horses, I think was that.
Oh,
that was so good. And I'm looking forward to something coming soon. I could say Ted Lasso because it just came out and we saw that. But I kind of used that media pick when I thought it was coming out like 3 months ago, so I can't use that.
And I'm going to use it.
So okay, good. You. I've been a little bit stuck in Isaac Asimov. So I've read
in Does the he know?
Yeah, it's really stinky, but so Prelude. So I've read like maybe 6 to 8 of the books. So Prelude to Foundation, Foundation and Earth, Foundation's Edge, the Foundation series, Foundation Empire, Second Foundation, and there's like a couple more. And it's really about
part of the Foundation E brand of books by Isaac Asimov.
Model E.
He wrote a lot. You know, the part that I was kind of interested in was that in the 40s, he was writing about robots and really setting the stage for what a lot of other folks thought about, like, geez, here's why you do this and that. Like, I've heard Elon even say, well, geez, reason we want a humanoid robot is because everything's built for humans and, you know, this and that already. So if you pick up a power tool, if it can handle the power tool, you don't have to build a special power tool for that robot. In the 40s, Isaac was saying that about robots that people hadn't even written about. A lot of the concepts, and then talking about, geez, like, okay, you do have a you have an easier life when all these robots take care of you, but maybe your society sort of slows down in some ways. He talked about a lot of different things in these books. Really good overall. I definitely recommend it. And there's a lot of these that are actually, the audio portions are at your library. You can find almost all the books at your library too. And I found like two that I couldn't even find to buy. I found free by the Library of Congress, actually. So
nice.
Anyway.
I have to second that, Joel. Isaac Asimov was a profoundly thoughtful science fiction writer who also seemed to have written a book every week when you go back and look at it. And the iRobot series is really good about like the morality of robots. What should we teach robots so they don't kill us?
Right.
And a lot of people who are in AI now quote Isaac Asimov, you know, and you basically just say, don't kill humans and do some other
stuff. Yeah.
He's amazing. Isaac Asimov. I listened to him a lot before he died. And he was a very sort of joyful, hopeful kind of guy. It's like, all of this technology is coming and it's going to be great. But he just did these thought experiments decades before the technology was there. And he turns out to be pretty smart.
So close to reality in some ways with some of the stuff that he wrote about. Like he was writing so young, like, right? He wasn't even out of college and he started some of the foundation stuff. So
maybe he had a time machine and he was actually from the future.
And he took GPT-4 back with him and wrote a whole bunch of books. Wouldn't that be amazing? And we'll focus on the fact that he had GPT-4 and not the fact that he had a freaking time machine.
But he didn't use it for evil. He used it to see into the future and write books about it.
Wrote a lot of books. So we could
get there. Interesting, right?
Where did he live?
It's a whole chicken and
egg. Hey, Google. Where did Isaac Asimov grow up?
Soviet Union, I think. He was born in Russia.
Hey, Google. Where did Isaac Asimov grow up?
Brooklyn, New York. On the website Britannica.com, they say he grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and graduated from Columbia University in 1939. People also ask me, what was Isaac Asimov's childhood like? Want to hear the answer?
No. Hey, Google. How many books did Isaac Asimov publish?
Isaac Asimov is the author of more than 60 books. Here are the first three, Foundation, I, Robot, and The Last Question.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Do yourself a favor, read some Asimov.
He had some beautiful mutton chop things happening as well.
He did.
The Wikipedia.
From the Brooklands.
Images.
Which is like Russia.
Well, he was born in Petrovichi, Russia, January 2nd, 1920. Died April 6, 1992 in Manhattan.
When did he immigrate to the States? I'm guessing in the 30s.
He traveled to the United States. Nope, he didn't. Via Liverpool on the RMS Baltic, arriving February 3rd, the kid's birthday.
What?
Thank you very much. In 1923, when he was 3 years old.
Oh.
He spoke Yiddish and English, never learned Russian.
Oh, wow.
His parents used Yiddish as a secret language when they wanted to discuss something privately.
Your sister's not real.
He taught himself to read at the age of five.
And to write books at the age of six.
Yeah. He became naturalized U.S. citizen in 1928 at the age of eight. America.
So I know Google said, 20 books? But here they say 60. Over 500 books.
500? He did 60 books according to Google, but Google's just a computer and can be wrong.
Just a computer. Well, there you have it. That's Isaac Asimov.
Anything else to talk about?
I didn't give my media pick.
Well,
I
mean, you could
you could say it could be Ted Lasso, but actually, I'm gonna give you a media pick. My media pick is this show.
Oh, what?
271 episodes of this show, most of which are available on Apple Podcasts, and there will be likely no more.
What are you saying, Tom?
This will be the last regular Talking Tesla podcast. There may be some special events as we move forward, but due to a lot of reasons.
What are they?
Declining listenership.
Our
inability to grow our Patreon community a little bit more. No, I don't think so. I don't think it. I mean, it feels like we the four of us, were able to really speak to a very small niche market.
Ever small.
And ever ain't, yeah.
And it feels like in the last few months, I don't know what it's related to, while the patron numbers have gone up or stayed stable, the regular listening numbers have been cut in about half. So people are just not interested in what we have to say.
How could that be?
Or not a lot of people are. I mean, some people are, and we're very, very grateful for those that are. In 2000, like if I walked out and every week went into a theater and spoke and 2,000 people showed up, I would be pretty happy about that. And I am very happy about that. But in this particular day and age and the time that it takes for me and you and Joel and Robert to get together and do all of this stuff, it feels like it just might not be enough people that we're reaching with this particular stream of messages.
And also, yeah, the kids have changed, the TikToks, the YouTubes. Mm-hmm. You look at the number of downloads for podcasts versus YouTube. YouTube mm-hmm. is the place. When I talked to Ben Sullins a number of years ago, it's like, mm-hmm. you know, podcasting is all fine and well, but, you know, YouTube is where people go. And I got to say, I spent a lot of time in the evenings watching short form video podcasts about Tesla on YouTube.
Yeah.
And, I don't listen to much podcasting about this. But
and we're just not going to make the show a YouTube because it's just it's a lot more work. And Joel's across the country, so all you'd get to see is his
mug,
fake background camera thing that he's got. And every once in a while, see his family kind of show up in the background.
Awesome. So it's over. So it's done.
It's over for
history.
For the most part, it is over. If something exciting happens, my guess is if the Cybertruck does ever get released or if full self-driving actually becomes a thing, we might come back and eat our words.
I can tell you that, we're going to keep it up, leave it up there archivally. But I'm not going to be able to help myself a couple of times a year. There's stuff happening. Like when they put that giant rocket or try and mm-hmm. put that giant rocket into the air, I'm going to want to be here with you kids to talk about it. But the week to week, it's over. Yeah. We're done.
And we may just do that on YouTube.
We might.
We may
just
only
YouTube.
Do the YouTube stuff. We're not going to do. We're going to close down the patrons.
Yeah. Now we'd that's like, the most important thing. I don't want to be taking people's money if we're not making regular shows. So that's the first thing. Patrons, we love you. We thank you. You're the good people. The people who didn't pay is why we're not here anymore. I don't want you to feel guilty or bad.
That is not true.
No. Patrons.
It's the people that aren't listening is why we're not here, and maybe us.
Yeah. Although, if there are 2,000 patrons. Maybe.
Exactly.
We would
put a show on for 2,000 patrons. Hello. Maybe turns out we have to have real jobs.
Yeah.
And this has been fun. But every goose has its day.
Yeah. That's an ancient Australian colloquialism. Yeah. Every goose has its day. Yeah, and today's this goose's day.
This goose is done.
But that means that there's going to be a whole archive in all the podcast apps. You could listen from the very beginning and you could. Years.
You know, there are people crying right now. They think we're joking. They're crying. Sad. No, it's really over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've started and stopped it a couple of times. That's my fault. I had a couple of situations over time. That's never good for your podcast. But I think overall, it's had its day.
I think, honestly, maybe it was just us, me,
I think
personally.
I think it was Joel.
No. That's just not
I mean,
right.
Robert's not here.
So let's at least blame him.
Yeah. Well, let's blame Robert because he's not here. I mean, he couldn't be here because he's out saving lives and stuff, and people are busy.
No, right. Today's his day.
Robert, he was going to send a little message to the listeners, and if he did, and I get it in time, this is where it's going to go.
Hey, Talking Tesla Nation. Robert here. I'm not recording with the boys because I was working the last 5 days, but here I am, a couple of espressos and some time to journal my thoughts. It's been great. I've really enjoyed spending all these hours with you. I'm certainly waiting for Starship to launch and get into orbit. That'll be amazing. Maybe we'll see you on YouTube for that. But stepping away from the Tesla frenzy is, how can I say? I'm exhausted. It's been an exhausting ride, more so now because of all of the antics that have been going on that many of us who are talking Tesla fans and Tesla aficionados continue to have to explain to all of our friends and the people we work with, like what the heck is going on with Elon Musk. I'm also thankful for all of the folks at Tesla, the people who've been there for the last 20 years, the people who have been joining over the last 20 years, who've been providing Tesla with stability and common sense and engineering discoveries and just putting out an amazing car. Multiple amazing cars and the Semi, and I'm really looking forward to the Cybertruck. I don't know what's going on with the Roadster, but I'm just glad I didn't buy one like back in the day. $250,000. God, if only I had done that, the money I would have made since that November 16th, 2017 reveal, I would feel even more aggravated. But it's great that Tesla is moving forward on the battery front. I don't know what's happening with autopilot. You know, we're also exhausted on that as well. The robot, I don't know, a distraction. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens, but it's hard to explain these things and be enthusiastic with the rest of the people out there about these things in light of Elon and all of the shade that he throws on you know, the whole situation. I don't want to bag on Elon too much, but I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted from that. I'm really excited about all of the developments that are coming down the pipeline, though. And in closing, I want to thank everybody who made the show fun, funny, and famously unfactful. Mel, thank you so much. You've really put your back into it. And Mel has been the major supporter financially and with resources for Talking Tesla. It's been a great ride. Tom, of course, all of your sensibility and your other opinion. You're being the straight man who actually pulls us down to earth and asks us if all of the shit that we're talking about makes sense and how it affects all the people in the universe. Joel, great. I really enjoyed working with you. It's been a lot of fun. We've hung out and had a lot of great times. Harold Murphy, always there. Love you, man. Look forward to visiting you in Perth someday. And all the listeners who joined us on the various shows and who wrote us letters and reviews and gave us so much to talk about. There's so many smart, funny, and forward-looking folks out there, it's really amazing. And of course, back to Cece and EJ, who in the beginning years helped clean up our audio and helped to craft Talking Tesla into a sharp production, despite, you know, my downfalls and my inability to record and perform and all my ignorance. I'm really glad we had this time together. And, oh, wait, Supercharger. How could I forget? It's the beginning of a month. And how best for me to go out but with a Supercharger report? So let's see. Our last Supercharger report was on March 2nd. So today I'm recording on the 27th. We had 25 days of Supercharger progress. And what does that look like? Amazing. This is a great Supercharger report to go out on. We have 101 open Superchargers in the last 25 days. That's a killer number. And that includes like 19 states in the United States and 18 countries in total. Of course, China led with the most Superchargers outside the United States. But, you know, for example, one Supercharger that caught my eye was here in Los Angeles, of course, on Venice and Robertson. There's like a Ross department store, and on the top, there's a rooftop parking area. They just expanded that to 44 plugs, all 250 kilowatt, right in a busy section of Los Angeles. Super awesome. We have construction. 60 Superchargers went into construction in the last 25 days, and permits, 44. So this is overall an excellent report. That gives us, at the end of March, 4,882 Supercharger stations worldwide. And if you look at the graph on Supercharge Info website, the rate is actually accelerating in the end of 2022 and the early 2023. Total stalls worldwide, 44,274. So I don't know what we're going to be in a year, but I can't wait till we hit 100,000 stalls. That's going to be an interesting topic. I look forward to watching it with you. And in the end, I have to say thank you very much for supporting Talking Tesla, and happy trails to you all.
Oh, that's pretty sweet, Robert.
Thank you, Robert. Wow. Us too. Us too.
Cool. Very nice of you to say. We love you too, yeah. Buddy.
AI couldn't help us.
I mean, we could ask. Could we ask ChatGPT to do Tesla show for us every week?
It could probably do a really good job.
We probably could make your voice in one of these things.
Crikey.
Yeah, we just have to get the sayings right. That would be it.
Yeah.
Well.
That's it, folks.
Wait, is there anything else to say?
I don't know if there's.
I'm going to miss you guys.
Do we go? Do we roll out on like with like a Australian group of some kind, like Land Down Under, Men at Work,
Midnight Oil. ABBA.
Yeah, ABBA. ABBA.
But they're not Australian, are they? Australian?
No.
They're Finnish, right? Or Swedish?
Who knows? They're from a Scandinavian country.
They're Scandinavian,
and nobody knows how that works. We've proven that.
That's the Netherlands that we.
Brought Joel on a few years ago, only to.
We did.
End the program. How many years has it been, Joel? Have you made five, four?
Three, maybe something like that. Is my
brought Joel in for facts.
Oh, and that helped.
Yeah.
On a good that was.
For facts. Apparently, before Joel, we would just ramble on about things we didn't know anything about.
And then now, we brought in facts.
Now we ramble on about things we don't know anything about, and Joel was supposed to tell us that we were wrong and did a lot. But I edited a lot of that out because I didn't want to hear it.
I don't want to hear the facts. Look, I think we're sad that it's over.
And we're hoping that when we do some stuff.
He said doo-doo.
that we do come back together. We'll have a lot more energy and be able to like really bring our best to those minimal things that we're going to do. So look, keep us subscribed on YouTube. Yeah. We'll keep that channel open. I may continue to add to my Jeep CJ thing. I'm still waiting for
the builder of
the Jeep CJ to do some more work on it. He also has a job, it turns out. So he's been a little bit delayed.
He's not done yet.
That he's been doing. But we have an entire plan of action for that particular piece of work. So hopefully we'll be able to do those things. So it's just the end of the regular weekly podcast. It's the end of the patrons having to pay for this crapola every other week. I guess, do you have anything you'd like to say to Harold Murphy?
Thank you, Harold. Now save your money, you foolish man.
buy another Model Y or something.
Wonder what Harold's going to do.
I'd like to meet Harold one day. That'd be cool.
Maybe when we go to Australia in September, we'll let Harold know.
Tom and I are going to Australia in September. It's been 20 years in the making. I'm like, Tom, we should go to Australia. We're finally making that happen.
Ooh.
We're going to
do
it. It's going to be awesome. I got to tell you, I got a few projects coming up that, you know, keep your head up. I'm writing now. I've finished my first book. It's off with the editor. It's called The Power of Being Average. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to hop back on this dad podcast just to say when it's published. And I've started my second book. I'm a new man.
Is that The Power of Being More Averager?
Power of Being Dumb. Second one is called Simplified. It's about exercise, nutrition. It's going to be awesome.
Okay.
It's a whole new era.
Era.
You say era, I say era. So stuff is going on. What are you doing? What are you going to do with your free time, Joel?
Well, I actually created a YouTube channel called The Vital Spark. I'm going to try to carry on some of the more technical things that we talked about on this show. I've been wanting to do it for a while and hadn't gotten around to it, I guess. So I've been doing writing as well. And ChatGPT has actually been helping me as well, too. So
I told you so.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Wow.
It's going to help.
Yes.
That's great.
Tom, what are you going to do?
I'm writing a book as well.
What about? He doesn't know yet.
I do. I mean, it's really in the infant stages. The first bits of it that I've written about are really about rehabilitation. In a futuristic penal system.
Tom is writing a sci-fi, which if he pulls it off, it's going to be awesome.
The premise
is really good, but don't tell people. It's going to be awesome.
I don't know if I can.
He's the next Isaac Asimov.
No, I'm going to write. I'm going to be a one and done-er.
That's cool, as long as it's big.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing, and then I'm going to be redoubling my efforts to try to help medicine a little bit more.
Yeah. The health of medicine is under duress, and we were trying to double down to help out the kids.
Very much,
nice.
So it's an important part of our lives.
Both
we're doing
locally and globally. So
exactly,
hopefully that will be a thing. But that is that's it. 271. We made it. We couldn't make it to 300 shows.
Oh, I thought we could do it.
We
ran out of gas.
We couldn't.
We ran out of gas. It was a Tesla show. See what I did there? Are you going to miss these puns? No.
I am. Well, I'm not. I'm still going to get them.
You're going to get them for free.
Yeah, I'm going to get them for free. All right.
All right, people.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Joel, for being a part of this. Thank you, Robert, for being a part of this.
Thank you, guys.
Melvis, for being the spark.
Thank you, Tom.
To this.
And I'm excited about this new podcast that Joel's got going. Tell me what it is again, Joel.
The Vital Spark. You can look at it. Look for it on YouTube.
He didn't steal my name, which I'm really grateful for. I thought for sure he was going to
steal. Smooth, rounded buttocks.
Can't say it because then someone else will take it.
I know.
Hey, are we ever going to be on the show, Joel, when you're famous and you've got a million hits every month? Are you ever going to have us on?
Only if I get really desperate for guests.
Wow.
That's honesty. I like that.
Only if he wants untruths on his show or bad opinions about things that don't matter.
Yeah. Then,
are you going to do media picks? Are you going to get Harold Murphy media picks on your Vital Spark?
Well, if Harold wants to be a Patreon contributor, even though I don't have any content up at all, that's perfect.
Wow.
It's never too soon to start. Get in early.
Well, my new podcast is actually going to be called the Harold Murphy Media Picks.
That's awesome.
And I'm just going to call Harold once a week and be like, hey, Harold, what are you watching? That's going to be the whole show. One media pick a week from Harold.
I'm also working on a podcast, which I've been thinking about for a decade, which is called Random Interesting Things. And I'm going to get around to it, where I just have random interesting things I want to talk about, sometimes with Tom, sometimes by myself. Maybe I'll invite Joel. Probably not, because he's not inviting me to his show. So that's fine.
What about Shabam? Is Shabam coming back? I can see it in the background.
Shabam, which was a kid show, which is really well produced, and it's so good.
Very well produced.
It sort of got discovered after it ended. If you go now and read the reviews are stunning. The team is having a bit of problems with season two because it's so produced and it takes so long. They're having difficulty. But go at least check out season one, which is profound, amazing, Even if you're not a kid, it's a great science show.
Yeah.
And maybe, shabam.
And maybe Robert will be doing something too. We could, this one podcast could actually go away and turn into four different.
Like six books, yeah. A couple of encyclopedias, seven podcasts, 14 YouTube channels. You should do a cooking show, Tom.
Yeah, you should.
He needs to.
I do. There's somebody, there's another doc that I was going to do a cooking yes. show with, but I need a place to do it.
You can cook here. What could go wrong?
You don't have a kitchen.
Improvise. Use ChatGPT.
I just use the bungalow.
Yeah. Burn shit down.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much all right, for all it. Of your patronage
Woo!
Over the years and for all of the support that you've given us both for the show and personally and events and stuff. Thank you all very much. And Talking Tesla is
out.
Bye-bye.